The Bob Lepley Bebop Band will be at Treme in Iceland. The Peter Mazza Trio will be at the bar next door, Manhattan, 8 p.m. On your concert billboard for Monday, September 15th. Brain Cloud will be at Barb's in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. The Nora McCarthy Trio will be at the bar next door, Manhattan, 8:30. On your billboard for Tuesday, September 16th, the Brooklyn Bowl welcomes Public Enemy at 8. Rattlesnake Dawn will be at the Nutty Irishman in Farmingdale, 8:30. Looking ahead to Wednesday, September 17th, Vintage Val and Paul Gilmore will be at BBQ in Patchogue, 7 p.m.
At WUSB, we believe in local performers. Concert Billboard is just one way we're doing what we can to build the Long Island music scene. Go to the USB.FM website to find our schedule so you can find the program that's right for you.
Stand by, indeed. It is WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM on your dial. It's 6:04 in the evening. Time for Off the Wall. Thank you.
Good evening. Such a long breath there. I thought you were going to start singing or something.
Oh, yeah, well, people do sing on this radio station.
Yes. But mostly we just like to get on with it and say, hello, here we are.
Here we are.
Off the walls, back on the air.
We are back on the air. I am your leader tonight. No.
How do you want to refer to yourself?
I'm the engineer tonight, and I'm joined by the host, Emmanuel, here.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
I really don't know how to say the opening. I keep saying it every time it's different.
Why don't you just say, I'm Kyle, and joined by Emmanuel?
I'm Kyle.
No titles, no hierarchy.
All right, let me try it. I'm Kyle, joined by Emmanuel tonight.
Nah, that didn't work, did it? It sounded good in theory, but, you know, this isn't a campfire. This is a radio show, you know? We should be the ones in charge and giving out the information. Like, people, there's a tornado coming. See? Okay. That got some attention. And it's not even false, because there is a tornado coming somewhere. I don't know where. Not here, I don't think. I'm not sure. I didn't check. Guess I should have.
Well, thankfully it isn't.
Yeah. So, yes, Kyle Emmanuel, here we are for another edition of Off the Wall. Hopefully we'll take phone calls this week. That would be pleasant. I guess I should get right into it. Updates, FA Cup and all that. Let's make it quick. Our allegiances have changed again. And I guess we should get used to doing this, because we picked the very lowest level to support. And, of course, the way it works is the lowest teams tend to get eliminated. And we're going to have a whole lot of teams get eliminated, I think, on the way to the championship in May. We were following Coleshill Town, who had defeated Nunnington Griffith, your pick. And now Coleshill Town, they're out because they were defeated by Barwell on Saturday, 2-1. And so, so now we're following Barwell. Now, they're our choice for the team that's going to make it all the way to Wembley in May.
Mm-hmm.
They're level 7 in the pyramid. And they have a game coming up against Norwich United, which sounds like a big team, but it's really not. They're in the 9th league, and Barwell's actually in the 7th, so it could be an easy game. I do have this announcement that I've been asked to pass along. There will be a coach for the FA Cup fixture on Saturday, the 27th of September, with Barwell FC. This is directed towards the Norwich United fans. Any supporters who wish to travel with the team on the coach, please contact the club, 01603-716-963. You can also contact the secretary. That's how it works. You ride with the team on the bus to the game. That's the level we're at right now. So you won't be able to do that when it gets closer to the final. Probably not. So Barwell versus Norwich United. Now, Norwich United has been in since the extra preliminary round, so they've won 3 games, and Barwell has just entered it as of this last stage, so they've only won 1 game. But they're higher level, so they're likely the favorite for the 27th. So that's where it stands. I've been asked to abbreviate these because nobody in America cares about the FA Cup except me. There you go. Barwell, that's our team now. I'll keep you updated when that changes, and it will change.
That's exciting. Thank you for that. That was great. That's what it takes. You start small. These are the grassroots. When people say grassroots, these teams are those. They work hard, and there's passion. It's something they like doing. And that's a really cool part of following the series. Not that the people up at the higher tiers don't love it, but it's a different kind of love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that raw, like, you know, I'm here just to either root on my team because I'm a local spectator, or that raw passion for, you know, maybe after your day at school or your day at work, you blow off some steam and catch up with your mates and play locally. So
it's more like you're a part of the team. You're riding on the bus with them. You're hanging out with them. You probably know them by name. They might even be your neighbors. You might even be on a team. It's that easy to do over there. But when it gets to the stage where people start recognizing names in different cities, then it becomes kind of like what we're used to here.
Uh-huh.
You know, even here at Stony Brook with the local teams that we have on campus, they don't talk to us. They ride different buses. You know, if you pass them on the street, you have to yield. You know, athletes here, they get all the special treatment, and, you know, we recognize that we're second, is it third-class civilians? Third-class civilians next to them. That's the way it works here in America. So, yes, class society. I'm sorry, I keep hitting the microphone whenever I gesture. Class society is something here in America that they just don't understand in England. Well, I guess, you know, they might be better off for that.
Yep, and that's all part of living in a public society and being a citizen. And, clearly, very exciting news from England.
No, it's really not that exciting. I mean, it's all right, but it's just meant to kill the first 10 minutes of the show.
And I think you've accomplished that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mission accomplished.
Well done. Well done. Bravo.
So what else has been going on? We didn't get bitten by any insects this week, I don't think. Well, not unusual ones, anyway.
No new species of insects, no. We're quite all right. Doing a lot more technical stuff as we usually do in our down seasons between events, between travels. We, fixing and doing a lot of upgrades and really maintaining stuff. I think that's what it's about. So
mm-hmm.
It's good to be around locally and watch the political season gear up a bit.
Scotland.
Yeah, well, and that's an endemic of politics. We're soon to see some more politics here, I'm sure.
I just found out we don't get to vote on this. I thought, it's if it's going to be a country, right? Isn't that something that affects everybody? Why don't we get a say in that?
It is, you know, and you would think that members of the UN, we would be able to express how this affects us and, what we would like to see for Scotland in the future. But unfortunately, we have to hear from Scottish people first. As soon as we get confirmation on those gas resources, we'll look into what exactly will be possible as far as conquering them and occupying. But it's going to be really an interesting election, and it gets me in the mood for 2016, and we've already been seeing exciting pundits warm up.
Wait, 2016 is... Oh, no, not again. Another presidential election?
Oh, you forgot.
I tried to put it out of my mind, actually.
Well,
2016, so... is McCain going to run again?
I will remind you
uh-huh.
that this time next year, we will be in the thick of it.
Oh, good God.
Yes. The thick of it.
Is it too late to get a reservation on that spaceship to Mars? Because I would like to be nowhere other than that if we go through this again.
It's actually very possible you could be on that spaceship. This is fine. Plan early. Make sure you pack.
Snap off the antenna so I can't get anything from home, too.
Right. You know? You're not going to want to watch it. It could be ugly if...
Oh, you think?
Well, it
could
been
be ugly.
An ugly 8 years, yeah. No, it's time for us to start getting back into that, I think. I mean...
All right. I will tell you this. I would be enthused. I would be happy. I would be looking forward to it if I saw something, the second step. Obama was the first step, right, in a direction. I know many people think it wasn't enough of a step, and unfortunately, they are right with those people who think he's, you know, a godless communist agent of Satan. Because by simply condemning left and right, it basically weakens anything that he does and makes it impossible for that second step to ever be taken. So I will blame the people on the left and the Democrats and all that if somebody further to the left of Obama does not get elected in 2016, because it was the lack of their support that made him weaker, that made the Republicans have more power, when they're the ones that should have been fought against from the very beginning, so that they didn't have all this power of always saying no. Even when they're the minority, they get to basically stop everything from happening. Healthcare and high-speed rail and a non-militaristic society and all that stuff that, you know, could have happened with a little bit of support and a little bit of faith. and realizing that we can't get everything you want overnight. So I would have been enthusiastic for 2016 if I thought that maybe the next step will be taken. But instead, I think we're going to go back. I think we're going to go back to the George W. Bush days, and all those Neanderthals from the right wing will be running things again, and we're just going to wind up with digging our heels into the dirt even more. And we're seeing the results of this. Yeah. All the time, you know, with the economy, with the state of the infrastructure, with our reputation overseas and the horrible way things are going, it's all a result of bad decisions made in the past.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And that means it's time to evaluate, time to take stock. If you have not noticed, the rest of the world is out there overthrowing and upending regimes and all that. Now, I'm not saying that is the prescription for our country ought to be, but I do think that it is, it's foreshadowing and it is instructive, because everyone who is upset, who is, you know, really pointing a finger one way or the other, whether you across the political spectrum, they all have something to say about it. But what do they have as a solution? And I think that is the really interesting thing that we ought to be vigilant of, because what we get in this country in 2016, in a year from now, we'll be in the heat of a race of sorts, and that will pepper our spring and summer, and then we will go to the polls for general election then. And I'm sure there are other races that are important, but I'm kind of skipping way ahead for the sake of, I think, the direction we're going. And to that end, if you are upset, if you are one of those people that thinks, like you said, the Obama is this or that or whatever about the regime, That is the time. That is the time when we change things. And I think even if you are interested in a fan or were a fan of this regime early on, maybe you've changed, wherever you fit, maybe you are passionate and really are happy with the direction, all the changes, those great changes our country has made.
Again, not enough, but they are changes.
Correct. Exactly. So, and what I mean is, that's our cycle. That is our time to change things up, to refresh things. So, if everything's good and everything is, you're happy with things, we still need candidates. We still need people for that change that is going to happen in a year or two. And that's why I brought it up so early, because it's, it's on my mind and it's creeping into the news. We're mm-hmm. starting to see it in the news cycles, and it's, well, it kind of, in the back of your mind, you see a lot of these political uprisings and which basically turn into geopolitical things, and we've talked about it, whether it's Crimea or the Middle East or Gaza, other hot spots in the world. It is or this Scottish referendum and even interesting things going on in our continent up in Canada or Mexico and South America, things at the border, all that stuff is related and it is all connected. We all play a part, whether it's international or a domestic issue. So that's kind of the mode I'm in as far as just kind of seeing what's ahead, anticipating it, seeing what other countries are doing, what other people are saying and feeling about their countries.
Paying attention.
Like the Catalonia. It's amazing how connected people are with social media, just the technology and communications in general. We still have language barriers. We still have a lot of things to keep us from being connected. But people in, like, Catalonia were really kind of feeling the power of the people from the Scottish election.
So they had a huge demonstration a few days ago in favor of independence from Spain.
Right.
In Catalonia. Barcelona, of course, being the center of all that. And, yeah, you know, that is, that's how empowerment works. Like, you see, hey, Scotland can do this. Scotland can vote to secede. And that's why I kind of want them to do this, because when people see it's possible to have a peaceful vote and secede and make your own destiny, other places might do that where it would be a good idea. And I you know, Catalonia is definitely the first example that comes to mind. I'm thinking other things too, like, and maybe Wales would split from England. That's not such a bad thing. It could be good for them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Northern Ireland, though, the other part of the United Kingdom, if it work out really well there, or if we go back to the Troubles again. Certain places, it's a lot more clear cut than others. And even in Scotland, it's not at all clear cut. It's pretty much 50-50 right now. So Thursday, day after tomorrow, we're going to find out if Scotland's going to be a new country. And if this happens, by the way, it takes about, from what I've heard, about 14 months from a vote to the actual Independence Day. Now, what's really interesting about Scotland, all of the nukes for United Kingdom, all of them are in Scotland, and Scotland doesn't want them there anymore. So who do you think? Who do you think the United States wants to win this election? You know, they're going to do everything they possibly can to back up our friends in London.
Yep.
Now, it's interesting, too, because Scotland is much further left than England. Most of the Labour Party comes from Scotland as far as Parliament, and you would have a fairly leftist regime. You wouldn't think that, would you? Thinking about people who are Scottish and up there in the north, would they be leftist? Would they be conservative? But yeah, they're leftist. They're leftist. And I just think that might make for a little bit more diversity. Of course, England will be forever conservative, but maybe they'll evolve at some point.
Of course. We're all capable of that. Mm-hmm. And so it's my point essentially is that it never stops. In fact, we don't have to wait till 2016. You can still be active, whether you're supportive or critical or both or wherever you fit. It's an ongoing thing, whether it's your local community, national level, or state level.
Right.
And be inspired. Be inspired by the empowerment that other people are finding, and you'll find it comes back around, and you can be active, whether you're in a school, whatever system you're in. You can use what you've got, but aspire for more, and don't, I mean, there's no, The interim between election cycles, it does not mean we don't have to be active public citizens. We can still affect things. We can still be vigilant and supportive of one another and share ideas with what ought to come next and where we ought to go. And instead of being resigned and cynical and upset and this will never change and
well, I see that everywhere. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's crazy.
So I'm done with that.
All right.
Do you have anything else? Should we move on?
Well, we should talk about ISIS. ISIS has been busy this week. First of all, before we get into ISIS,
okay,
some clarification. Is it ISIS, the Islamic State, ISIL? Why does Obama say ISIL? And now Kerry, of course, has to parrot whatever he says, and says ISIL as well. Did you know it started all the way back in 2004? And the only reason we're talking about them now is because, well, they kind of merged with al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria as recently as a year ago and started gaining all this power. But, yeah, they started back in 2004 from an al-Qaeda splinter group in Iraq. And, you know, it's interesting when people look at this. You look back in history and all of this is started by people from faraway places messing around where they don't belong. Why do you think al-Qaeda made it to Iraq in the first place? Because we went there first. And they saw that as an opportunity to fight against the Western invaders. So before you knew it, al-Qaeda's in Iraq, and that turned into the Islamic State. And you know what? When Russia invaded Afghanistan back in the 70s, that's how al-Qaeda got formed in the first place, with our support. Because
right.
We wanted to fight Russia.
And essentially, a lot of our equipment, where our equipment goes, it's logical. Our equipment, our resources, we're putting fuel, and stuff falls off, people get attacked. You know, you can gain equipment and ground and whatnot if you go to where the logistical supply is, and that is the nature of battle in that way. And, of course, if we're sending all kinds of resources to bolster troops in an uncontrolled area, where we really do not have any kind of indigenous presence.
Not really.
We're basically a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
Is it a G at the end?
Smorgasbord.
Yeah, something like that.
I will not say that they're picking through our trash. That's kind of...
We have to get somebody in power, either a news commentator or a politician, to use the word smorgasbord to describe the situation over there. That would be a win.
Aw, fooey.
I'd like to see that. But as far as looking back at the history of all this, think about the original Iraq War, when Iraq was set to invade Kuwait, or when they did invade Kuwait. And, of course, the United States took a keen interest in that, unapologetically, because it was oil. No other reason, of course. It was all about oil. If anybody denies that at this stage, they have got to be on some really strong, powerful hallucinogens, because 1990 was most definitely about oil.
It was a great...
no question.
Like, 8-cassette series from CNN. I think they put out a nice cassette. Did they put out other war sets?
I think they... Yeah, they probably do.
Do they ever stop? And when do they start... When do they stop one war? And, like, is there a terrorism set? Is that a Blu-ray? Or do they just stream it?
You should be in marketing, because these are good ideas.
I remember back in the 90s, I had access, I think, in the library, and, I would see the full volume, the Gulf War set. And I had lived through it, too, which was weird. So you'd see the movie come out after the war.
And then, of course, you see all the movies, too.
Yeah.
Based on Desert Storm and Desert Shield. And
Black Hawk Down, I think, was a Gulf.
It's been great for Hollywood.
Wow.
But here's the thing.
Sure.
1990, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it was all about oil. Yes.
Send it out to the mathematicians here.
Uh-huh.
We have a strong math department at Stony Brook.
We do.
Kids that were around then,
yeah.
Right, watching their country being... Well, Iraq wasn't so much invaded as it was later on, but it was invaded. It was embarrassed, and Americans were seen as people coming and messing around and, foreign invaders. No question about it, foreign invaders, for good or
sure.
For bad. So those kids, let's say they were like, maybe 10 years old then. How old are they now?
Yeah, just for easy math.
How old would they be? 1990?
Let me see. Hold on. Let me get my fingers out. 93,
94. That's 14 years from then. So how old is 14 plus, how old did I say they were?
100. Wait, I got 100.
No, go back.
No, that's 2000.
Erase that. 14.
2003. 14.
Yeah, that's not how old they are.
10 plus...
No, you're in 2000. You're in the wrong war. No, the first war. If you add 14... Wait, no, not 14. 24. Hold on. 1990 was 24 years ago.
So they're 34.
Is that true? Wow. That's true. Okay, 24 years ago. A quarter century ago.
Yeah.
Boy, the time flies. So 24 plus however old I said those kids were.
10.
30, 30, so in the mid-30s now.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to go to the Second War, 2003, the real invasion, where all hundreds of thousands of people were killed?
Was this gassing the chemical warfare?
Well, Saddam Hussein was accused
of
that.
Yeah.
He was
accused
of that, but he was accused of that when he was a friend of the United States. That's when it happened, and we didn't take notice until oil got involved. Regardless, we can talk about this for a long
time.
That
made it okay, though. Yeah, that was the... Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, 2003 was really the horror show, because that's when atrocities were committed. That's when Abu Ghraib and all kinds of, the pictures of people torturing prisoners and burning Qurans and all that happened. 2003, a mere 11 years ago. But if you were 10 years old then, you'd be 21 now. What do you think these kids are doing now? You think maybe... they've forgotten all about it? Or do you think maybe they're still a little angry that they lost their parents, or they lost their home, or they lost their country? You could say what you want about dictators, but sometimes dictators hold things together. Tito did that in Yugoslavia. Saddam Hussein sort of did that to a degree, and I'm not at all defending the guy, but there was nothing. There weren't car bombs going off in the street. There was not a civil war happening. You could say the same thing about Assad in Syria. These are horrible people, but if you overthrow them without a plan, worse things can happen, and we've seen that. And many people hold the Americans responsible. I'm one of them. I hold the Americans responsible. But does that mean that we keep meddling? We keep going back in there. We keep trying to fix things or make things better for ourselves, or do we just say, we have no place here. Here's a large sum of money, guys. Work it out. We're sorry. We're never going to do that again. right now we're talking about going right back in there to fight ISIS, which was created from the last time we went back in there. And the fighters then were created from the time that the Russians and the Americans were messing around in Afghanistan and I did it again, the Middle East and all those places. You know, the problem right now is that there's all these foreign fighters in these countries, and we want to solve that problem by sending in foreign fighters to fight them. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's just going to keep going on, and bigger solutions have to be found. But to get back to the name, which is what I was bringing up before, ISIS is the English translation of the acronym in Arabic for Al-Dawlah al-Islamiyya fi al-Iraq. And I'm so happy I said all that.
Very good.
I didn't stumble over it. Oh, I also didn't finish it.
Oh, it's not done.
I have to start again. Okay. It's the acronym in Arabic for Al-Dawlah See, already I can't do it again. Al-Dawlah al-Islamiyya fi al-Iraq wa al-Sham, or the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, which I guess means Syria. Yeah, al-Sham, right. It's a reference to a region that stretches from Turkey through Syria to Egypt and includes the Palestinian territories, Jordan, Lebanon. It's a real bastion of fun. That's the English translation of that. They used to call themselves the Islamic State in Iraq and al-Sham, which can be translated as Syria, and that means Damascus and all of that. So it can be translated as the Levant, ISIL, that's what they used to call, well actually no, ISIS is what they used to call themselves, or ISIL is a current translation as well, but Islamic State is their official name now. Got all that? Yeah. What I found interesting though, just to speak to the other point, one of the newscasts that I saw this week was talking about Turkey and Turkey's involvement and how basically the world was waiting to see if Turkey was going to help the United States by participating. And everybody was saying this without realizing the irony of the situation. Turkey is going to help the United States fight ISIS. Why wouldn't it be the other way around? ISIS is in Turkish territory. Wouldn't it be the United States helping Turkey to fight ISIS? You know, why is it us fighting these people from so far away, who are far away, who have no interest in this country? It makes no sense to me. And the fact that we just accept this without questioning it just adds to it further.
It's because we got called out. We got called out on video by name.
So that British guy with the mask on, that's the reason for all this? Because he's embarrassing the United States and the United Kingdom? That's why we're going to go through this all over again?
Yes, it's a, how shall I say, top-down.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They say they know who he is.
Oh, okay. All right.
Except I think they think he's a fictitious character from a James Bond movie, but actually somebody who exists.
Wow.
Yeah, so who knows? But here's something interesting. As you know, they've been beheading people left and right, and it's a real horror show. These things are hard to hear about. They're hard to stomach, the barbarity of it all. We like to think that we live in a civilized culture, that we're above all of that, but then we hear about this, videos come out, and you realize the fear that people must be living in. Now, in the space of just 2 weeks last month, 22 people were executed by these guys, and at least 8 of those were beheaded. Can you believe that? That is... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong notes. That was Saudi Arabia. That wasn't ISIS. Saudi Arabia did that. I'm sorry. They beheaded 8 people in the last 2 weeks. They're our friends, so those are good beheadings. All right? Yes, there are videos of those, too, available. You can download all of that if you wish. But remember, that's being done for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. And if you look at the video of the Saudi Arabian executioner executing people, they wear white. They don't wear black. All right? That's huge. That makes a big difference. Now, here's one case where Saudi Arabia executed an Iranian and 3 Syrians after the death penalty was handed down for drug trafficking. They tried to import hashish into the Saudi kingdom. They were decapitated by sword last Tuesday. The Iranian convict was beheaded in the east of the country. The Syrian nationals were beheaded in the northern region. Tuesday's executions raised the number of people decapitated by sword in Saudi Arabia over the past 4 weeks alone to 30. Yeah, so chew on that for a while. It's not as black and white as you might think. These are all kinds of, that's a regime we support. And we say precious little about anything that they're doing wrong.
Yeah, precious little, they really do. Yeah, and we execute people here, of course. So.
But we don't decapitate them. Do we? No, we don't.
I'm avoiding so many puns right now.
We
Let's
shoot them,
stop.
We stab them, we do all kinds of other things, but we don't decapitate.
Well, it's cruel and unusual. It's halal, though.
All right. Well, you know what? Enough of this international talk. Let's talk about local things, because they're more, I guess, relevant to what's going on around here. And I'd like to point out that there was a situation in New York where cops did not overreact. You know, a situation involving people who were not behaving in an adult manner, where they could have caused all kinds of problems, and the cops kept their heads. Did you hear about this, Kyle?
No.
Well, it does happen. I guess you only hear the bad news, but I'd like to share with you the good news for a change. If that's okay. Do you mind? Can I give you some good news?
I'm not sure you're capable of it.
I can. I can do this.
Let's see it.
Okay. So, Amsterdam Avenue erupted in gunfire and blood-curdling screams.
Wait, what? This is in New York, right?
Yeah, no kidding. That's where the NYPD operates.
Ouch. I've been there.
Yeah, you've been there. You've been to a lot of places.
Mm.
But this has nothing to do with you.
Continue.
All right. So just after 9 p.m., when a drunken 49-year-old narcotics agent shot a 31-year-old woman in the left foot and the woman's 42-year-old boyfriend in the right calf during an argument about his weapon. they're arguing about the very weapon that wound up shooting them.
Let
me tell the story and then you can tear it to pieces. The three had been drinking together and were walking down Amsterdam Avenue near West 82nd Street, when the woman asked the New York State Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement agent for his pistol. Well, that didn't... he actually gave her the gun, believe it or not, but then he wanted it back, quickly demanded it back, and as the argument became increasingly heated, the agent fired a round. I guess he got his gun back if he was able to fire a round. The bullet ricocheted off the concrete and hit both the woman and her boyfriend. So what happened here with the NYPD is that the cops surrounded this guy that was holding the gun, and plainclothes cops, they surrounded him, and one of them, after there were a few tense moments, one of the cops knocked the gun out of the suspect's hand and tackled him and made the arrest. They went up to him and they knocked the gun out of his hand.
Hi-ya!
Now, if this was a black man, and I'm just theorizing here, if this guy was black and he was holding a stick and he was walking backwards, all right, they would have shot him. They would have shot him without hesitation, and the police commissioner would have supported them. This is a white narcotics officer who is firing a gun on Amsterdam Avenue and has shot people and is drunk and is belligerent.
And giving his weapon to people.
And they swat the gun out of his hand. Yes, well done. That is what cops should do. They should put themselves in harm's way to stop a situation like that. But they don't, usually. This is a rare exception. And rare exception comes about because A, the guy's white, B, the guy's another cop, and see, they feel like this is their job. That's not the way it usually goes. I was blown away by this, and the fact that no one's really talking about it, too, is pretty amazing. That, we hear about all the horrible things that happen all the time, and we don't see the disparity. I think a lot of us are blind to the disparity. Here's yet another case that you might not have even heard about because there were just too many of them. A woman has criticized police in the Utah County city of Saratoga Springs. Did you know there's a Saratoga Springs in Utah? There is. She was criticizing them over the fatal shooting of her 22-year-old son, saying she believes the outcome would have been different had he not been black. Susan Hunt said her family wants answers about what happened leading up to Wednesday's shooting by officers of her son, Damien. I think that's Darian. On Saturday afternoon, law enforcement authorities issued a statement saying the man lunged at officers with a sword. Well, it turned out to be a toy sword. Turned out to not be sharpened in any way. And, of course, if you say that you believe that he actually lunged at them, that's a bit of a leap of a faith right there because, well, who are the witnesses? The people who shot him. And I think we've all seen cops exaggerate greatly when they feel they're in danger and have to take deadly action. So, that's more the norm. That's more what actually happens.
It is. It is what happens. It's lousy.
Well, I'm glad you agree.
Are you interested in phone calls at all?
If there are phone calls, let's take some phone calls.
Okay. Yeah, so...
Keeping you up?
No. Just trying to stay focused here.
Do you need help going into delay? It's always a big ordeal.
Yeah, I think I can do it. This goes into program and they hit this.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna do it behind you.
I have to learn.
Yeah, but there's no reason to drag the listeners through this again. We'll just do it quickly. Why don't you give out the phone number while I go over there and sort out all the buttons?
631-632-6901. That's 631-632-6901. Please.
For WUSB Stony Brook, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
Let's call, and we'll... Okay, and I think we've made it to delay.
Yeah, half of one of your sentences was in both.
Yeah, I think it did. It got halfway through there, but we do have some calls coming in, and... Well, that's fantastic. I'm picking up.
Those are my headphones, I'm afraid.
Okay. So we have one caller. Are you ready?
Push the button, but push the button only once.
WUSB, this is Off the Wall. You're on the air.
I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. My name is Chuck Peretti. I'm a local resident in the Stony Brook Setauket area.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for your call. Chuck, what would you like to comment on tonight?
I was very happy to hear you encourage people, despite pessimism and the very, very depressing trends we see both politically and...
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, there was a lot of issues we were talking about there, and it gets very hard because you can start getting either really positive one way or really negative the other way, but it really is something you must... make time to participate in our democracy. Otherwise, it doesn't work, and the people that kind of mess it up get free reign.
I wanted your listeners to know, right here in Stony Brook at Nichols Road and 25A, there are organizations that are trying to advance peace and justice. They can be accessed at around 11 to 12:30 every Saturday morning at Bennett's Road and 25A. I also wanted to encourage you and have the listeners be aware that despite the difficulties of seeing change, history is being made, and ultimately we have to have faith that human beings will try to understand and do the right thing. In particular, I haven't heard you say very much, and possibly you can tackle some of the remaining time on air.
Uh-huh.
The climate crisis is really beyond questionable.
And yes.
A major march, as you probably know, September 21st, spearheaded by organizations and at the location in New York City and Columbus Circle.
Fantastic. I really, really appreciate your insight tonight, sir. And Yeah, that is so true. Thank you for the events and current stuff that's going on. Ways we can be engaged, ways we can participate and be active all the time, and not be pessimistic. So I'm going to thank you for your call and take another call. Have a good night, sir.
Very much.
Was that directed at me? You looked in my direction and you said being pessimistic. I'm not pessimistic. I'm outraged, but happy.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's really it's important to get the word out of good things that are going on, and that we all feel like we are winning, because whether you know one candidate or the other wins or doesn't, we're all active, we're all a part of this, we see the issues coming by, and the voting public, they kind of surprise us sometimes, and we have to remember that together, that is who. The direction of the country. That's who we are together, and there's a lot of things to get around, no matter how big or small. So every little bit of it counts, and feel good about your contributions and spread the word. Get other people involved.
It's also good to define what winning is all about. I think every time we talk on the radio, discuss these issues, that's a victory of sorts. You know, we're getting our voice out there, and we're sharing with other people. And I think we're going to share with somebody right now.
Yes. If you are interested in calling 631-632-6901, we will allow you to share with us and contribute to the show. We'd like to hear your thoughts, your comments, your questions, anything that might be pertinent. We have no calls online right now.
I heard the phone ringing. What happened?
It was ringing, but I didn't get it quick enough, or they had to run and...
Are you playing games with us out there?
They might have been burning some grilled cheese or
something. Don't call the phone and then hang up. That's cruel.
Okay.
Wow. Well, okay, let me tell you something that might put a smile on your face. Remember we talked about the professor that shot himself in the foot in Idaho last week? It was on this show, Kyle.
Yeah, I was here.
You were here.
Yes.
We talked about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, guess what? In our favorite state, Utah, a school teacher accidentally shot herself in the leg when a concealed weapon she was carrying discharged in a faculty bathroom shortly before classes last Thursday. This is an epidemic, okay? They've given guns to teachers and to professors, and they're shooting each other now, and they're shooting themselves. And what did you expect, America? What did you think was going to happen when you start handing these things out like candy? People are going to use them whether they want to or not. It's not appropriate for an academic society, an academic atmosphere. And, yeah, you know, if someone goes and starts shooting a classroom, I'll say the same thing. That's not appropriate. But it's ridiculous if you start giving guns to everybody thinking that there's going to be some kind of a shootout if somebody starts doing something completely crazy. Doesn't work that way. You'll have a lot of crossfire, you'll have a lot of casualties, and you'll have a lot of accidents. And that's what we're starting to see right now. Big surprise.
Yeah, they're very, very unforgiving tools, and I really think it's the implicit power and the power, the energy that changes in a room when someone is carrying a weapon. I think that's a lot. That's very much underestimated, and I think it takes away some people's rights to live without violence around them and without in a peaceful way and without stupidity. And I think there just really ought to be a lot better users of these tools, and I don't know. I think there are certain places where it's just, as you said, inappropriate. It doesn't fit. It does not work, and it doesn't allow for the expression and the speech that we're granted. And that's I think often been said. And it gets to amendment stuff where, oh, you know, well, it's my right to say this. It's also my right to carry this, but. We ought not to be ending things in duels and whatnot. Conversation,
yeah.
Arguments, passion should be allowed as much as any kind of weaponry in a militia sense.
The right not to live in violence. I say the right not to live with the fear of violence, because I think that's even worse, because that basically censors who you are. You don't know if the person that you're arguing with for a parking space is going to shoot you, because you don't know if in the crazy state you live in, they're allowed to simply carry weapons and use them whenever they feel like it. You know, somebody got killed because they threw popcorn at somebody in a theater. Somebody got killed for knocking on somebody's door in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. These are things we should be doing without fear of paying the ultimate price.
And let's not forget the actual, like, accidents. I mean, just lately we've had this Oscar Pistorius thing. And, I mean, I know there are countless of kids who know their father or mother keep weapons in the house, and maybe they drink, too. What if you come home late, you're late for curfew, and they think you're an intruder?
Yeah.
It's happening. They've just read the results of the trial in Australia, and I'm very familiar. I know young people. I have personal stories of people that I'm aware of that have been fearful coming home, thinking perhaps they'd be mistaken and accidentally shot. And that's not something that should be real. You should be focused on your homework, not whether your parents are going to accidentally kill you because they had too many mint juleps.
It all is part of believing that you're in danger at all times, that you're in a society where violence is the norm. And we're getting there. We're certainly getting there. It's almost wishful thinking. We paint this picture of a really horrible, dangerous place where every stranger cannot be trusted. And it's not reality, not yet. And it doesn't have to be.
All right, did we reach our quota for gun conversation?
I think so.
Okay.
I didn't really want to talk about that, but I mean, come on, a school teacher shooting themselves, you got to mention that.
Yeah, we did get the signal from the other room. Okay, so we're done with guns. We are still taking calls.
No, we're out of time.
And we're now out of time, and we cannot take calls. And, of course,
and,
we'll see you when we get right back from delay. And it's very good to be here. Speaking live, we're back, and you're here.
Were you talking over yourself?
I think I did interrupt myself at one point.
Well, now you know what it feels like.
I do. I do know what it feels like to interrupt myself, and I do know what it feels like to go in and out of delay, and it shouldn't be that much of a hassle, and hopefully we're going to change that. But that's how it works here, and the important thing is a couple people got the call. We're going to take more calls in the future. We'll have more interesting and exciting things to talk about.
Well, speaking of interesting and exciting, you know what's coming up next, right?
I do, I think, know what's coming up next.
Finn is coming up next.
Oh, that's right. Yes, of course.
With Finn's Revolution.
It is coming. It's coming very quickly. Finn's Revolution will be in here. There's plenty of other really, really exciting programming.
Oh, it's Emmanuel.
And this is Kyle.
We'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com.
Off the wall. Good night, everyone.
God damn, not an
Gott verweist, ich will kein Engel sein.